Welcome to Red Inca. I'm Jared Kimber. This episode of Red Inca, we have someone on to tell their story.
Yes, my name is Roberta Moretti Avery, and I'm a player for Cricket Brazil, and I'm also part of the board of Cricket Brazil.
We talk about cricket in Brazil, moving from AstroTurf to grass wickets, golf, coaching the coaches, watching cricket, reading pitches, and a delicious Brazilian sport called taco. My first question is, why were you in the UK this summer? Because you and I bumped into each other at one stage. I had no idea you were even over here. I'm not on Twitter anymore. I know you're very active on social media, but I don't really hang out there anymore. Why were you in the UK?
So I was in the UK. I was invited to play a festival called C6 on mid-July in Wormsley. I absolutely love Wormsley. I was able to play there in 2022 for the first time. And as I was already coming to the UK, I decided to stay a couple of weeks more to play cricket, playing turf. In Brazil, we do not have turf pitches yet. So I wanted to get a little bit more experience for the ICC tournaments. And it was lovely. So many clubs opened their doors to have me as a guest player. So I played into every sort of scenario you think. Village cricket, very good cricket, average cricket, anything. And it was a really, really good experience. And I watched a lot of cricket as well. I met you watching cricket, so yeah.
Let's go back to the start. When did cricket first sort of enter your life?
Yeah, I lived in England for 7 years. I lived in England during the 2005 Ashes.
I remember that.
I would love to say that that was the reason that I started watching cricket, but it's not. When I was flicking through the TV and I saw cricket on TV, I thought it was like really stopped, really boring. Why are all these people wearing white? I didn't get the game. I didn't have any friends that played cricket at the time because most of my friends were not English people. So when I came back to Brazil, married to an Englishman, still not playing cricket, he was invited to be part of a project to coach cricket for kids. He invited me to go to a six-a-side game, softball, and I loved it because it's really similar to a street game that we have in Brazil called Betis, which is taco, which is a two-a-side cricket, more or less. So it got me really involved, and they were starting the first women's team in my city to play the nationals, and I was picked to be part of that team, and the rest was ended up being history. That was in 2013.
2013. When do you start taking it seriously, though?
Oh, good question. I didn't even know that I enjoyed cricket that much. I was invited to be part of the Brazil national team 2014, and it was fun. But golf was my love. I used to love golf. So for me, cricket was always competing against golf a little bit. In 2015, I scored my first century. And I was like, oh, maybe I can actually give cricket a go. And I started taking it a little bit more serious after I became captain. That was 2017. I said, okay, this is really something that I need to get more involved now. And that's exactly when I ended up switching from golf to cricket as well. I retired from golf in 2018. But most of all, I stayed in cricket and decided to stay longer in cricket because of what it used to do for the community. Because I had girls around me that were like from very different backgrounds, really insecure, really young. And I noticed that I could make a change for them. I could help them become better women, stronger women. So I think that's what made me stay in cricket instead of golf. Golf was really individual. I didn't make a change into anyone's lives. But cricket, I was able to be a better player, but also help people get better. So I think that was the key that made everything change.
It's interesting that you say that the captaincy is when you became serious, because like in most international teams, by the time you're a captain, you're already taking cricket really seriously. But that probably suggests that Brazilian cricket was at quite a low point when you started and it was very amateur, I'm assuming.
Yes, absolutely. It was super amateur when I started. We had to plan all of our trips ourselves. We had some sort of coaching, but it was really difficult. We didn't have nets. We didn't have training center. When in the second or third year that I was playing, we had to put our own nets by ourselves before every training and after every training, like these huge, heavy things in the floor, and then throw the net on top of it, tie it up so it wouldn't fall into any bowler's heads. It was a really basic setup. We would fundraise to be able to go. Because if all of our players, not all, but half of our players were coming from community projects, and all these projects are for underprivileged kids, which is still are here in Brazil, they didn't have money to go to Argentina for a week to play, that their parents would barely go to Brasilia or to São Paulo here in Brazil. They don't have money. So we had to do everything. And we would. I think that was part of the challenge and the of being a cricket player was to bring this amateur setup to play South American championships. So, yeah, it was really amateur. And, for example, the first time I was a captain, the first time I played cricket, my captain said, okay, guys, go to the middle, do a few rounds in the pitch. Whenever you stop, just go forward, and that's your fielding position. I was like, okay, let's go for it. And that was the first tournament that I played for Brazil. So things evolved quite well after that.
Brazil's quite famous for being sort of the first cricket board to sort of push the women's team before the men's team. Were you part of that, or was that sort of happening separate to you at that point?
That was part of me, but that was not my decision. I was actually caught by surprise. In 2019, we played the South American Championship, and from 2014 to 19, things changed a lot. In 2019, we already had nets to train. We already had coaching. My home team had won the nationals for a few years, and we won the South American Championships 4 times by that year. Mm. And I spoke to my president, Matt Federson, which is, I love him, the biggest mentor I ever had, and said, what now? What next? Are we going to keep doing all of this for the South American Championships? Do we have where do we go now?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I think you're going to like the news that we're about to give you, but we're going to contract the girls thinking about ICC tournaments now and how to qualify for the World Cup, Under-19 World Cup for the future. The training center was being built at the time, which is a beautiful training center, fielding area, nets, has been fully refurbished now, looks so good. And the proper coaching from the UK. So things clicked. Mm. And they compared us to the men's team, and we were the team that were able to give the highest chance of getting to the World Cup qualifiers global stage and go up the rankings. So we were the ones given the opportunity of receiving the central contracts. So in 2020, everything changed. All the amateur went away, and now we get paid to play cricket. We have all the setup around us, and it has been a really good change of mindset, but really difficult as well, because a lot of the girls did not choose to be athletes. They were good players, and now they became athletes. So it has been like a couple of years into maturing that idea and getting everyone buying into that, but it has been really good.
That's one of my big questions, actually, because you started someone playing cricket and golf, as you said before. You sort of come to it casually and everything else. And a lot of women players in general, until the last 5 or so years, but in general, if you look at women's cricket, there's a big part of the women who just got into it because cricket was their favorite sport, right? And then they get quite good at it. And then it's a hobby that they do a lot. And then suddenly they're in franchise leagues and it's professional. And there are journalists saying, oh, this woman needs to be dropped. And this woman doesn't try hard enough. And this woman should be fitter and all that. And I remember watching it happen live and like even talking to some of the women's cricketers going, we don't know how to handle this. Like I remember talking to some of the Australian women's team when I would write really analytical pieces on them and they would be furious at me. And I said, that's because no one's ever done this before. There is a big difference, isn't there, psychologically between it being something that you love and it being your profession or or you become a more professional player. These are not similar things, are they? Once it goes from being a hobby to being something else, your mind has to change.
Oh, so much. And the first thing that Cricket Brazil did was contract a mental coach. I think the reason why they contracted a mental coach was because we wanted to improve performance. Mm. But I think he helped so much in terms of, okay, now we used to play cricket twice a week. We used to travel for fun. We would go out on weekends. Mondays was an easy day. And suddenly we're practicing 5 days a week. You cannot go out anymore every week because if you go out every weekend, you don't recover to the next training session. If you lose, you're like, what is happening, guys? We are training every day. Why are we losing? So it changed a lot. Mm. And we are a little bit lucky because we have a very young group of girls. So that helped them to adjust a little bit better. But there were a few dropouts. Like, okay, this not this life's not for me. Cricket was just a hobby. I play well, but this is not my life, which is okay as well. I think it's important that people are really fair to themselves. But the mental coach ended up helping a lot more into the, okay, let's adjust the mindset here. Let's see what we can do, what is really, what we need to do. And he was really good. This cup of, for me especially, because before the central contracts, I was the captain that would sort out everything, like a club captain. I would do everything for everyone. My nickname was a Big Mom and things like that. And one day I was doing that, and the next day there was a coach, assistant coach, mental coach, physio, no funding needed, and I was like, okay. I'm not ready to give all this control away. So for me, it was like a little, I had to learn how to gain trust on everybody that was working around me and believe that they were doing the same job as I was, or actually even better. But it was a change of mindset, a really strong change of mindset for everyone. And I understand what is happening now in the last 5 years of these girls, sometimes 16-year-old girls just jumping on their TV and playing well in the 100 and just, instead of thinking about GCSEs, they're just in front of the TV being judged by everyone. I think you have to prep women, girls more for that because it's not easy, this transition.
Let's just get back to the facilities. I think facilities are quite interesting. You talked about you're playing cricket in England on turf, and that's why I got you on, because, you know, when you and I were chatting, it was really interesting, you know, you having to understand turf wickets for the first time. Just take me through, in Brazil, do you play on matting wickets? Do you play on AstroTurf? What kind of wickets do you actually play the majority of your cricket on back home?
We play all the cricket in AstroTurf. Our nets are AstroTurf. Our grounding, the main ground in Poços is... The same thing in Rio, where we played the South American Championships and the Nationals, Men's Nationals. Everything is AstroTurf. And part of the reasons is because cricket is so new in Brazil. I went to Lourdes, and Lourdes has all this history. And I'm thinking, oh my God, cricket Brazil has a history like this big. We are still like such babies. But we need a few things. We need the knowledge of understanding how to take care of good turf pitches, because bad turf is worse than actually astro pitch, isn't it? We need the space for us that is going to be reserved only for cricket. And we need to understand a little bit more. But that is really good, because we had made a partnership now with the Oval Relief Trust. Mm-hmm. And the second is a 3-year partnership. And the second year of the partnership is about developing turf wickets, turf nets, and the turf wickets in the ground here in Poços de Caldas, where I live. So it's coming. Soon, in a couple of years, we are going to be having a different conversation here saying, okay, we have the first turf nets and turf wickets here in Brazil. But that's going to require a little bit of learning from us and also adjusting to the conditions, to the climate. We don't know how that's going to be in Brazil. But I think it has potential to be a little bit bouncy. We are in the South Hemisphere, isn't it? So I think it's going to be a little bit bouncy, and I think it's going to be really good for our development. So our players can learn how to play on turf here. And when they go to the UK, Australia, Caribbean, like we are exporting players now, and play on these franchise tournaments, they can adjust really well.
Argentina is the place in South America that I know that sort of had the most turf wickets at one stage. Have you played on them? Are their wickets a little bit faster and bouncier, or are they something different?
I played in Argentina a few times, but always in AstroTurf. But we're going to play there in March, the ICC World Cup qualifiers, and that's going to be, that has to be in turf. I think it's a little bit, it's not as slow as the turf wickets that we played in the USA. It was a little bit quicker and a little bit bouncier than the ones that we faced in North America.
You want to swing wildly at the internet like you've got the new pill in your hand, but you keep getting dead-butted. Find the movement you want with NordVPN. They are our protection against terrifying cyber threats and wide-battered geo-blocks. NordVPN will help you get through any rights restrictions so you can watch all the cricket you want. We aren't always happy with the wickets we're on. Sometimes we need a change. NordVPN can switch your virtual location so your IP address is ready to cash in.
So if you need to get around the internet's rules, or I suppose in our case, laws, select NordVPN. They can help you watch a game on a cheaper stream in another country. Give NordVPN the ball and let them penetrate all your vast internet issues. Because if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus 4 additional months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. You can also receive a 20GB daily data voucher. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a big hitter is coming for you at nordvpn.com/KIMBER right now.
So I grew up playing on AstroTurf, started on concrete wickets, went to AstroTurf, and most Australian cricketers probably, it's very rare for them not to start on AstroTurf. New Zealand is quite similar, and you get it in some other cricket nations in the world. It's kind of looked down on, but it's funny, I was talking to Raul Dravid for my book, and he was talking about Ricky Ponting, and he said, maybe Ricky Ponting's so good against the short ball because when he was 12, he was facing adults bowling on AstroTurf, and every ball bounced at his head, right? So it does give you a very good a balance. But I remember I probably started to play on turf wickets when I was 15, 16. And straight away, I realized that there's a huge change that you have to make in your technique. Now, I'm just an average club cricketer. You're playing at the international level. You're now playing against people, and because of your social media presence, I'm sure even when you turn up at those midweek games in England, people are like, oh, wow, good to see everyone, right? Like there's an element of that. And you're trying to work out how to play turf wickets at that time. What technically did you have the biggest troubles with?
Well, first of all, I always played in AstroTurf pitch, so I'm really good on my back foot. I go back foot on everything. I don't mind. I can play it well. I can, but because the ball comes so quick to the bat, so back foot just allows you a little bit more. When I go to turf, if you go on the back foot, most likely the ball is not going to bounce as high. So first, I had to work technically on everything because the AstroTurf forgives. But the turf doesn't. So you have to be better technically. So I spent a couple of years working really hard into going forward, using the front foot, moving the foot the right way, shaping it better. I think that was the main key for me. You have to have better shapes. The ball is going to move more. It's going to move from the pitch. In England, it moved through the air amazingly. It was so good. Well, better to bowl than to bat, but it was really good to face. And it was really interesting this because the girls now in Brazil are starting to move to the same direction as well. Okay, really good players on the back foot, but okay, also getting better in the front foot. But I think that was the main thing for me. Go in the front foot and develop technique much better because everything changes. The way the wagon wheel that I play in Brazil is completely different than the wagon wheel that I played in UK a couple of weeks ago, and nothing in my game changed. It's just like I play more to the leg side one, the other one I play on covers. That is crazy. I actually sent the wagon wheel to my coach and said, you see, I can do this. I can play balls on the cover all the time. Just you can see it. but it's interesting because it is a different game. Even for bowling, even for fielding, you bowl different lines, lengths. You field different angles. I think the game is more interesting when you're in turf because of the way that you can manage it and the way you can get into the batter's mind much more. I think that's a good advantage for cricket to be able to play there.
Yeah, and also I suppose for you as a captain, like you're developing as a batter, and you know, I remember my big thing was I never went out LBW really that much when I played on AstroTurf, and the minute I was on, started playing on turf, like I'd go out LBW, I had to change. I used to take a middle stump guard. I had to move to leg stump because my pad just kept getting in the way. I couldn't get it out the way. But you're also talking about the technical side of things. So you've been captaining in quite a one-dimensional mode on AstroTurf. You kind of know who your best bowlers are every single time. You know how the ball is going to behave every single time, and you know where the fielders go. And suddenly now you're probably already seeing that, like, on this wicket, the big, tall, fast bowler isn't as good as the short, skiddy bowler and everything else. And so it's probably opening up and the other women as well, but it's opening up your mind to tactics that you haven't really had to worry about all that much in cricket.
Yeah, that example that you gave was exactly what happened to us in the World Cup qualifiers last year. Our opening bowler is really quick, bouncy quick, and she is really good on AstroTurf. She gets batters scared. She gets loads of edges. Amazing. And on USA, she wasn't good. Not that she wasn't good, but she wasn't effective. And
she wasn't effective. Yeah.
Her and attack her. And we have this really short wrist spin bowler, really skinny, and she was extremely successful. Slow bowling, getting to the floor, attacking the stumps. So we have to change. I think, for me as a captain to adapt, it's one thing, because I'm studying, I watch a lot of cricket, that's okay. But the thing is, these players have been playing cricket for maybe 3-4 years tops. Mm. To explain to them the difference and why they're suddenly, your main bowler is not a main bowler anymore, that other person that does not have the same opportunity, not the same opportunities, but the same importance here, yeah. Suddenly you're the person that you need the most. I think to make the players understand that, because they're so new to cricket, mm-hmm. they still haven't watched 100 games of cricket. They haven't watched 50 games of cricket, even because it's super difficult to watch cricket here in Brazil yet, still. So I think you have to change your mindset, but you have to make sure that everyone that is around you is understanding that mindset, so they keep trusting the decisions and understand mm-hmm. that's what is better for the team. And again, I think that the only reason that happens is because we are new, and because we're still learning a lot. We had loads of conversations. We increased a lot of our game screen time as a team now to understand more these decisions. And for example, Laura Cardoso going to UK this season also helps a lot, because she lived again all the UK setup now. And now she's in Brazil doing the same and helping teach the girls as well. So I think that the exchange program about Brazil, UK, Brazil, and other countries is going to help knowledge of people as well.
You talked about watching more cricket and obviously your players playing overseas. What else can you do? I was thinking about this. My sons have been playing under 11s this year, and there are some really natural cricketers that kind of watch a lot of cricket themselves and they kind of get it. And then you have the other kids who are clearly really good athletes but don't know where to stand on the field and, you know, don't know when to run between the wickets. And like trying to help under 11s understand, you know, the shibboleths of cricket, like the little things that like come really naturally to someone like me because I grew up in the game. How do you sort of train this whole generation who they might be good athletes, they might just be very good at one particular skill in cricket. How do you upskill them without the ability for them to watch 100 games a year, without the ability to play them on turf? Is it less nets and more match practice, or is it, you know, talking, or how do you view that sort of a challenge?
It's interesting because when we were in the first fair break, I remember the first fair break meeting, and it was like this quick 5 to 10 minutes talk. Everybody understood their roles. Everybody understood what they're going to do. Everybody goes. And I commented with Heather Knight and said, in Brazil, you can't do a 10-minute meeting because you have to explain, not explain, but you have to teach much more than you just talking. You cannot say, okay, for these angles, we're going to do this, or for this batter, we're going to do this. It has to be a little bit more, because we're not only coaching, we're teaching a lot.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot more talk and a lot more explaining. And there's also a lot of curiosity. The girls want to understand. They want to know. So there are a lot of questions. So it's an environment of learning. So I think talking is the biggest point for us. We do a lot of scenarios, game practice, match with specific targets for us, and watch more. And there's something that I always say is, watch cricket is fun. Watch cricket is good. Listen to the commentaries. I think commentaries are so good to give us insights. So listen to the commentaries. Watch the game. See the game differently. And it's funny because now we have a group of girls that love watching games. And I think that's change of the culture, change of the scenario as well, of them wanting to be more interested in learning, because they don't want to lose because they don't know. They want to lose because they were beaten, in case that happens. But not because they just didn't have enough knowledge.
If you are following my work, we know that you are a true cricket sadist and you need your hit every day. And sometimes, sadly, there is actually no cricket to watch. So how about if someone made a very fun game that you could use for the moments when there is no on-field action? Welcome to Hit Wicket, a strategic game of cricket, which isn't about slamming your finger on the screen very fast.
you work out what works best based on how cricket actually works. Dot balls lead to wickets, ones and twos to fours and sixes. So there is no way you can bowl a great Yorker every ball or smash three sixes at the beginning of your innings. This is proper cricket. Yet it still has some gaming powers in there as well. Hit Wicket is about playing, but also building and managing your team. You are the batter, bowler, owner, coach, and captain. It's your dream. No ads, just cricket. So download Hit Wicket today, because this is a cricket game made for you and supported by major cricket nerds.
It's really interesting because you're building a cricket culture really as much as anything, and there's no template for, you know, Brazil cricket, especially Brazil women's cricket, but just in general, you know, there's not a massive template there. So it's not like other women's cricket programs where you're fitting into what the men are doing or you are playing around the men. It's a very different situation. How much do you think of that sort of legacy and of, you know, of long-term, like, you obviously you're out in the middle, you want to win the next game, but it might be more important if, you know, if you can get another player, you know, some time in the middle, or she can understand this situation or whatever, or that you actually look at the core of what you're doing. So how much are you sort of playing off with long-term goals and short-term goals when you're out on the field?
Oh, I think legacy is so important for us. We talk a lot about culture and values, because when we started cricket here in my hometown, there was no cricket. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that happened was boys and girls could play, and boys and girls were valued, and everyone was part of the game. So they split here in Brazil now for participation is 48% girls and 52% boys. And when it should go, you go into high performance, actually changes. Mm-hmm. So you have 55% girls and 45% boys in high performance. So I think that already makes girls feel that they are more legacy. They're really part of this thing that is really important, and that they are really valued. They are not like the copy from the men's cricket. They are, actually, we have a slogan that is called Cricket Like a Girl. So it's a little bit the boys coping the Brazilian women's team. So it's really cool because they want to be like Laura Cardoso. They want to play like Lindsay. They want to bowl like Duda instead of they wanting to bowl like a man that they don't know yet. So it's pretty cool that. So in the middle, when we are over there, for us, first, it is always about, not it's always about winning, but winning is a big part of it. But we want to win the right way. We want to win learning. We want to make sure that our players understand cricket values. I think it's so good about cricket, the fact that we are Brazilians. So we are in a culture that football is being played, the umpire, the ref gives a decision of a fault or something like that, and everybody tells him off. Everybody shouts at him. So to change that culture from the people complaining about the umpire all the time to be like, okay, umpire, you're right. I'll bow again. is something that really makes them think differently, and that changed them for life. So, of course, we want to win. We are making the team for winning. We are investing all this money because we want to be the next ones in the global qualifiers. We want to have a team in 2030 World Cup. We want to have under-19 team playing in the World Cups as well. So it is about that, but we want to make sure that we are doing it for the right reasons in the right way.
The cricket side seems to be, you know, going ahead. As you said, you've got your plans and everything. And I think you're ranked 38th in the world at the moment. So, you know, you're getting to that sort of level where you can start to push towards World Cups and everything else. What about in general society? Like, I know there are regions in Brazil that obviously play more cricket and a lot of regions that don't even know cricket exists. How hard is it to sort of convince younger people that this is a thing with a future? And, you know, please have a look at Chris Gayle's Instagram feed. You could be rich and famous playing this. Like, how much are you battling the fact that cricket is just not really a thing in Brazil at the moment?
The thing is, cricket is a thing in Brazil because this game that I told you, this two-a-side cricket that is played.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's played by 3 million people in Brazil.
So it's not a hard sell to say to people, this is just the formal version of that game.
Yes, we have this version of the game. So I played taco my whole childhood. I was really good at it. Actually, everybody that played taco is going to say that they were really good at it. I think nobody says that they were bad at taco.
No one was keeping stats.
Yeah, yes. Our opening batter right now, for the women's team, Laura Agata. She was found playing tackle. She was playing tackle with a broomstick. She was hitting a tennis ball with a broomstick. And our president saw her and said, if she can hit the ball with that broomstick, she can do quite well with the bat. Mm. It took her a few years, but she's our opening bat now. She scored 50 yesterday. So it's funny because there is a lot of cricket in Brazil, but informal. So yeah. When we go to schools, when we go to projects, because our main participation comes from schools, it's a very simplified form of the game. And it looks really similar to tackle. So the first aspect of the fun, inclusion, and enjoying the game happens over there. And so it's a little bit familiar as well. Mm. I think the trouble for us is making sure that these participations have a path so they can go to the club, and in the club they have more competitions. And from the club, they join the junior leagues and they have competition for everyone. So I think our building has been on provide a path. So club, juniors, development, and the elite. And every path to have competitions for them. And I think we are closing all the pieces of the puzzles down. Now we have softball competitions, hardball competitions, kids competitions, youth, boys, girls, mixed. So now people are able to stay, and we can start analyzing where the dropouts are and see why the dropouts happen and what we can do to fix it. But in these 15 years that we organized cricket in our region, it has been really good to see this pathway getting completely become this like web where people, if you're a kid that just wants to play softball games, that's okay. Every Wednesday, we have softball games for you. You can go over there. It's free of charge. Enjoy, have fun. But if you want to be a part of the men's national team, okay, this is the under 15s, under 19s, under 21s, local leagues. This is your path. Go for it. We have coaching and we have everything for you. And cricket in Brazil is a cheap sport. It's free. Nobody pays to get involved in cricket. Nobody pays to play cricket. And this is funded by the Cricket Brazil Confederation. So I think it makes easy for them to stay around. In the other regions now, the other hubs that we're growing in Brazil, is the same setup. The issue that we had in the beginning was lack of coaches. Because if you're just having formal cricket, you don't have cricket coaches. You don't have people that are able to teach the next level. That's where my husband, Richard, came to help. And we have some coaches developed. But a big change for us was when we created a program called the University Program. So the best players from each hub that we had, we selected them and start giving them ICC Level 1 coaching. And from the ones that really wanted to, that were really involved with the program, we paid for their university of physical education university. So we funded our university. In exchange, they would give us 10 hours of cricket lessons a week. And when they graduated, they were contracted for Cricket Brazil. And this year, we had from the first one that entered until the last 32 people already been to university. And from these 32, 25 are hired by Cricket Brazil right now. My assistant coach was the first university participant. So it makes it sustainable. So people join, people learn how to coach, and they come back for the same community to coach again and allow us to create this path for people to keep playing.
When you started this journey, like international cricket was the major thing. And, you know, obviously Cricket Brazil are, you know, trying to get into the World Cup and everything else. But you've also talked about how, you know, the Big Mama thing and helping everyone else out. And it's obviously a big part of why you do what you do. The future is really quite interesting because as we see more and more women professional players coming in, there is a possibility at a certain point for there to be quite a lot of professional Brazilian cricketers traveling around the world in the way that the footballers do. Maybe not at the same number, but both of us could see a world in the next 15 or 20 years where there's franchise leagues everywhere. There's really talented women and men from Brazil who start to go out there. It's in some ways getting to the World Cup is great, and I'm sure you'll be really excited as a cricket nerd if Brazil makes it to the World Cup. But there's a bigger thing here that there's a lot of people that could be helped as professionals and as coaches and, as you said, and as administrators and all these different things through cricket. It's kind of a bigger vision than you originally had, right?
Oh, absolutely. I had no idea what I was getting into when I started playing. I just wanted to play for Brazil in a sport. And my dream was to do that in golf. I said, okay, I can do that in cricket. Let's do it in cricket. I ended up doing it in golf as well. But I never thought that this was going to be something that I was going to be a part of. And it's really cool because the university program, we started just with PE, physical education. Now we have physiotherapists. Now we have our first person going to the administration role, which shows that we are not just making coaches. We are making people to learn to teach the whole structure of Cricket Brazil. And there is a need of, in South America, there is a huge need of professionalization of sports. And it's already happening here. So how can we, exactly what you said, we can start exporting this knowledge, exporting these people, these players, and also these people that understand something really good that is happening here and maybe help other countries do the same. Because if Brazil can do this, we started with very little funding, everyone can. I think for every other member that is not on the top 10, can start thinking about something sustainable like this, as long as they don't think too much short term, because development takes time. We think big, we start small. And that's what is one of our slogans here. But is every country should be able to do the same. And I think Cricket Brazil can be a good learning curve for a lot of people.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minbo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minbo.pro now.